The following podcast is scheduled for one fall with no time limit.
Super Hot Fire!
The greatest spectacle in podcast entertainment, Mr. Nestlemania!
That was literally verbal diarrhea. I'm setting the bar awfully low. Titus O'Neil keeps running directly into that bar. Get him off my TV, get him off my TV. You make me very angry.
The man who has a better IQ than you, the awe-inspiring JC!
You should go work for WWE because you'd be so up far on Vince's
no,
butt.
No, no, no,
oh, you are
no,
such
no,
a
no,
suck
no,
up.
No,
you defend everything, all the bad moves they make.
This is the Jobber Knocker Podcast.
What's up, jobbers? And welcome to the latest edition of the Jobber Knocker Podcast. As always, Nestlemania alongside for the ride is a man that always yells, I'm sorry, he can't say that anymore. JC.
Yeah, we can still say, yeah.
We can say yeet.
Yeet.
We can say anything with a Y, you know?
Joe, thank you for the nice comment, but actually, before we went on, I did have problems again, so...
Yeah, we had another failure to launch. Yeah. Shooting blanks over there, Brown Bear.
Yeah. You shooting Brown Bear? Yeah. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Rogaine must have destroyed Nestle's brain cells. We're starting off hot and heavy tonight. Anyway, we've got a lot to talk about on this Jobber Knocker. We have NXT deadline predictions to do at the end of this program as well. So make sure you talk about that. But JC, where do we always start?
In the Shine, Nestlemania. And you know what? There's a couple different directions we can go with the Shine this week. But I'm going to go to the blue brand since we're wearing blue. I'm wearing my full Cirque shirt. He's wearing his Nestle Curse shirt, both available on tpublic.com/jobberknocker. Get yours today. And I'm going to start on SmackDown WrestleMania because you know who came back? Possible comeback nominee? That would be Mr. LP, Logan Paul. And he's really kind of mastered the promo finally in WrestleMania. We've kind of talked about how, like, you know, like the last 6 months, he's kind of really settled into his groove. I thought this was a pretty seamless promo. He seemed like a guy who's been doing this for 15 years. I really liked it. And we obviously know with him as a U.S. champion, he's a part-timer. He's not going to be here every week. So you know what? We have a tournament that makes sense. That's right. On WWE, when they do tournaments, they usually make sense. They're not fucking classics on fucking continents and fucking bullshit like that other fucking company. But I'm excited for this U.S. Title tournament. They showed everyone off. We obviously have a little thing going on with KO now. He seemed like the favorite, but they have a little storyline thing with his hand because he keeps knocking out Theory and Grayson. But I'm kind of really digging this. It's kind of cool. It makes that title kind of feel important on a show that obviously the other men's singles title we never see. I think it's been defended once or since Mania at this point, twice maybe. But it's kind of cool to see. And it was good to see Logan Paul back on TV. And I mean, I hope that we get a few more appearances before the year's over.
So I was interested in the field of the U.S. title because it was making me very interested in who the NXT pick will be.
Mm.
And I kept thinking to myself, could it be Carmelo Hayes?
I was going to say, it's probably him.
You know, him. It's only him. There could only be one, him. So when I thought about that, I went, ooh, that's an interesting thing. But can he be in a tournament and not win it and then not win the United States Championship? I don't
Easily.
Know about that. Really?
Easily.
Okay.
Yeah. Easily.
Okay. I tend to think that the person that's winning this is KO, but that's just me.
Yes, assuming he's cleared, he might not be cleared. But you look at it, it's like they'll find a creative way for Lashley probably not to win because he's in it. Grayson and Theory, they're going to put on great matches, but they'll lose to some baby faces. Dragon Lee will probably pull an upset early on or something. Santos, I could see being a guy make it to the finals, but that's an easy way to bring Carlito back at some point to kind of cost him and send him on his way. But I'm curious what you thought about the rest of this as we went on throughout the night. Obviously, KO beat Waller before he sustained that injury, but Logan Paul may have had the line of the night on commentary. When they said, doesn't Kevin Owens, doesn't he inspire you, Logan? Yeah, he inspires me to go to McDonald's.
The thing that he said, he reminds me of Otis. I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like the things he was saying, like, I have the title on my junk. And he's like, you're all on my junk. Like, I appreciate that stuff. Like, it makes perfect sense. He's a heel's heel. It just makes me laugh. But I kind of love where the Theory KO Waller, like, Not that that's going to continue, not that it's not going to continue, but it's just kind of like there, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's like in case of emergency, just go beat up Theory and Waller, which is fine. And it's always good. But I feel like if Theory is going to be anything, he needs to be a tag team champion with Waller. I really want to see that happen. It's, you know, like, I really want to see them be a tag team that has a championship to go after. And I think you'll find a theme with me throughout this entire week is it would be really nice if there were two sets of tag titles right about now.
Well, so, you know what? The way things are trending on Monday night's WrestleMania, as the Creed brothers pick up another big win, I think they have a little legitimate chance to dethrone the Judgment Day, and we can all move on with our lives in terms of tag team wrestling. And Theory and Waller would definitely be a good opponents for them.
I don't see the Creeds winning. I think they're going to have an incredible showing.
But how long do you think the Judgment Day is going to hold these things, though? Because at some point, like, they just beat the Street Profits. It's like, if it's not the Creeds, who's beating these guys?
I don't know.
DIY?
Also
had a good showing this week and a banner of a 2 out of 3 falls.
So the other thing too is like I really enjoyed the 2 out of 3 falls matches because it had a story inside of it, outside
absolutely.
Of it. But it was the inside part where it was like, okay, Vinci scored the pinfall. Fantastic. It wasn't his fault. And then Ludwig lost the pinfall. It was his fault. And then Ludwig lost again based off of something else. Like, I love that. I love that whole easy to digest storyline. Whether or not you like the DIY theme song, that's irrelevant, but that's still tough because it's not selling me on the overall package of DIY yet. I think this went a long way, but I feel like DIY needs to then face other people now. Like, we've done it.
I think this is how you ingratiate them to the main rosters. Like, we saw it on Monday. Like, these guys' wrestling style is so fucking fun and exciting. And having this long match, like, the crowd was getting into it. We obviously know they've wrestled Imperium a million times. These four guys have incredible chemistry together. They're four incredible technicians. So we knew it would be very good. But I think this is what you have to do sometimes with, like, these wrestlers that, you know, maybe aren't the most charismatic or a pretty standard baby face. It's like, you know, it's just like Ricochet. You just let him go out there and do what he does best, and people are going to be impressed. And DIY, like, yes, the theme song, it sucks. We're going to have to try to get over it, but it's brutal. Maybe at some point they figure something out. But in terms of in-the-ring stuff, it's like they're really good, and they're definitely a team that I would like to see continue to be featured on Monday nights in the tag team realm.
It just goes back to what I said about 2 minutes ago with, it would be really nice if they had tag titles to face. Like,
I mean, technically they do. The Creeds just beat them out for the opportunity.
No, I know, but I was sitting there like, okay, so to go back to the Creeds thing before we go back to DIY, they had the whole thing about, what are you laughing at?
You're just like hopping from lily pad to lily pad all over this program.
It's fine.
Big pod nestle.
Direction? No thank. Listen, I will say this
sometimes
much.
Sometimes you just gotta go in a circuit.
Full circuit. Okay. And so the thing I was thinking about was they did a great job with the backstage segment with all the babyface tag teams putting over the Creeds. That was wonderful. It was almost like an express lane thing for me watching that. And then they did the whole fucking, you know, squatting with fucking Maxine thing, which I thought was funny. But then again, they kind of don't have Maxine and Ivy being a tag team in the women's division anymore, or maybe they're putting that on hold. I don't know. It just feels like the Creeds are being express laned into this thing, which they won't win. And then if they don't, we're at this problem again of who the fuck takes the tag team titles off. Now, if it's Pretty Deadly, I'm all in, right?
Keep like, dreaming.
But the thing is it's hard because the Judgment Day are heels technically. So you have to think about, you know, you would think unless it's a 3-way or a 4-way that it's going to be a heel, you know, championship team versus a babyface challenger. There's not too many babyface tag teams other than the Creeds.
And DIY.
And DIY that you could then believe would beat them. So
can you show us your shirt again? You are guaranteeing the Creeds aren't going to win. That's a Nestle curse if I've ever seen one. Lock it up. JC's lock of them. Whenever the fuck they wrestle, Creeds win the tag titles. # Nestle curse. Shit's real. Buy the merch because it's fucking real, man. It's an authentic thing.
You know what's funny is I had to explain to my wife what it was. And she was just like, you know what I mean? Like, you look at it, you're like, you're cursed? And I'm like, I'm not cursed technically, but I guess I curse other people into relevancy.
Well, then you explain it, she's like, oh, yeah, you are Ron a lot because, you know, being the wife, she's always right, so.
Well, if you want to sleep in the right bed, yeah, you know, you just, you know, you sleep on the floor. The
couch. You're not sleeping on your casting couch behind you?
There's nobody on it. Anyway, moving on, anything else that you really enjoyed this week?
I did, WrestleMania. There were many things I enjoyed this week, including Drew McIntyre pretty much cutting promos on everyone, beats the living fuck out of Sami Zayn, fucking McIntyre's his way to start the show, fucking Max's feminist Shlani sword, comes back out at the end, Claymore's Jey Uso on the outside, says fuck you Seth Rollins, and he has continued to be in fuck you mode, as we are likely going to get possibly Seth and McIntyre very soon.
I felt so bad watching Jey Uso versus Seth Rollins, because all I could think about was, man, this is a great match. And the crowd wanted Jey Uso to win this thing. And then out comes Mac destroying everybody and everything. And I went, this is wonderful. McIntyre did a great job from beginning, middle, and end. I don't like his mullet. You know, it's like a poofy, woofy mullet.
It always comes back to hair with you.
Well, listen, hey, I recognize
that's
hair.
That's hair segment of the week. Here we go.
Yeah, there we. Hey, you know what? If you've got meat, I've got hair. Just not together. That's weird.
Oh, God, Jesus.
What? What? Oh, Jesus.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Jump back in your bush. Let's hear it.
Well, some people have to have it. Anyway, I'm going to say that McIntyre might be the most exciting thing in the WWE right now. I mean, barring, you know, CM Punk. But I think, like, day to day, week to week, he is consistently through the hair. Like,
the most interesting character. Yeah. Finally. It took them long enough. We've been asked this for fucking 2 years with this guy. It's one of those things you can tell, like, how much more comfortable and loose he feels. He's out there just fucking having fun and, like, you know, just like he's all into this because it's just like there's part of it where he probably feels actual frustration. So being able to channel that into your character just makes everything so much better. So it just, he's clicking on all cylinders. He's comfortable. He fucking looks like a fucking badass. So it works. The sword is even more intimidating now when he comes out with it. Cause you're like, oh shit, he might actually use it now. So it is. He's doing a great job. This is what we've been waiting for forever. I still got to get, find something for you to fucking buy for you since you lost the bet. But it's all about the Mac, baby. Monday Night Mac.
Indeed. It's unbelievable. It's literally a 180. It's unreal to me how that has changed everything for me. But it is what it is, folks. Moving on, something that I really thought was kind of fun. We didn't really get to talk about it very much, but Randy Orton signs Easy Street, obviously, to SmackDown and takes a giant leap in the air, and Nick Aldis hits a picture perfect. RKO. If you know anything about Nick Aldis, he has said on his podcast or just any type of interview he's ever said, he said his dream opponent, bar none, is Randy Orton. He went out of his way for that fucking layout. It was like a swan dive. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. And I got super boned up. I was just like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's going to be a match somewhere down the line. It's going to be fun. Like, the problem is I look at Nick Aldis and I think, this guy can't be a general manager. His chest by itself is the size of like three of my heads. It's unreal how big his body is. How do you not put that guy on TV in the ring? It's unreal to me that they're doing this. Maybe down the line they might do something. Maybe they won't, you know, but maybe they think he's too old, but man, is he impressive. Just when he walks in the room, it's just like, that guy's a star. And it's weird to me that he's a general manager.
Do you need a moment?
No, I'm done. Okay. I'm done. I'm done.
You really like his chest, huh?
It's a barrel chest is what it is. You know? What are you laughing at?
You. And also Danny said Mickey James on a pole match.
Well, I'm never going to win that one. We know that. It's fine.
Oh, man.
It's fine. Listen.
Yeah, no, I mean, we talked about it last week. It's just Randy Orton, you focus on the bloodline. SmackDown could use another big star. Obviously, him RKOing Nick Aldis makes it even more interesting with him so they can mess around with some shit. But he's got Solo and Jimmy to deal with till the fucking big dog comes back for a fucking New Year's resolution to get ready for the Rumble. So this made a lot of sense. And obviously, this week we have another fucking, it's apparently this big courting fest of who are we going to sign with. CM Punk's going to be on SmackDown and Raw. So that'll be the next one. But Randy has found his home on the blueprint.
Do you find it odd? I saw that the Mac tweeted out or X'd out or whatever, or Twixt out, whatever you want to call it.
Twixt?
Yeah. Because it's
you hungry right now, bro?
Dude, you know what my favorite candy bar is. Come on now. Do you not remember me?
I remember when you used to buy like 8 at once.
Okay. So I love Twix. So there you go. For everybody. I'm a left Twix guy, by the way, in case you're wondering. But anyway, that's beside the point.
I'm a right Twix guy because I'm cooler.
Yeah, of course. We all know that. No one ever is going to ever say that I'm cool. So let's just go with the most uneasy thing in the world to say about me. But anyway, going back to what I was only saying, it's weird that Mac tweeted out a GIF of Jimmy Uso who's on SmackDown. So it's weird. Like, we have these weird parallels where it's like the Mac, it might go to SmackDown for some reason. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like this weird thing that's happening where Randy's already in kind of injected with the Bloodline thing, but it's always kind of in the peripheral is Mac in the Bloodline too. I don't know if they're going to ever get McIntyre versus Reigns though. I don't feel like it's in the cards based on the season we're in.
No, I think it's just, he's on a different, seems like a different trajectory. And also, do you think he tweeted that picture of Jimmy on purpose and thought he was tweeting a picture of Jay?
That didn't occur to me till right this second.
I'll be honest with you. That was my first thought. I'm like, we can tell them apart, but you know, sometimes.
To be fair, our boy Billy used to give me shit because I couldn't tell the Usos apart when they had the face paint on, and they looked very similar.
They had it on different sides, and then one of them wore like pants, one more like shorts. Like they had a bunch of different.
But now, like once they became the Uso Penitentiary, you could tell who was who, and then now they're clearly, you can tell it, you know, if you look at them. But like, you can't do that.
Yeet. Come and get me.
I think I have a better shot of paying the backcracker to fuck your back up at this point. It's ridiculous.
I'm seeing him in the morning. He's gonna have to get those big fucking meaty paws on me. I'm a little stiff.
You know, if the backcracker was an actual wrestler, his finishing move would be the attitude adjustment, wouldn't it?
It could be a backbreaker too.
Nah. No, that's
well, what's Miro's fucking finish?
The accolade.
Well, that's what he called in WWE, but like that's pretty much like stretching out a back, you know.
I now I'm thinking of like you in a long, like, you know, medical bed thing, and then like just the backcracker behind you with the short duck legs, like pulling you Machka style, trying
Dr.
to get your
Isaac Crackham.
Yeah. Isaac Crackham. That's good. We should DDS or put the face his dumb face on the fucking Isaac Yankum. That'd be fucking hilarious. Wow, we went way off topic here. Anything else you enjoy?
I think it's time, WrestleMania. Maybe we, like, you know, take an off-road. Go down a fucking side quest, because I will give them credit. I will give them credit for this, with this fucking Cody Nakamura thing. They explained it to the best of their ability. Like, that little, like, the editing there of showing the parallels of Nakamura had a moment, won the Rumble, came up short, blah, blah, blah. Like, making the parallels to Cody. And I like that he said, like, I was unable to come finish my story, so I'm going to ruin yours. I'm like, okay. They found a way to make it so it makes sense. Now, I'm they're fighting next week. I'm sure there'll be some chicanery because I can't see this being like a two-week feud. But am I super jazzed? No. But at least like it's like sometimes when you're watching a TV show, you're frustrated by the side quests. We're obviously very frustrated. But when it's well-written and makes sense, you're like, okay, I can sit down. I can consume this and not be upset because it's well put together. And I thought this week they did a good job filling in all the lines and all the questions we had and making this make sense, being like, okay, I approve. Now go fucking Cody Cutter his ass into the fucking ground and try not to get missed.
The one thing I will say about this was I have a similar feeling when I was watching it. Like, oh, this is hair thin logic, but I like it. And then I kept thinking to myself, gee, golly gosh, is he really going to end up, you know, beating him next week? I don't think so. But the one thing that did cross my mind was the tie-in to the Muda thing. I was like, the fact that Cody was able to grab out of thin air Muda and how he was terrified of Muda as a kid, and then somehow translate in that Nakamura is terrifying. I was like, this guy is grasping at straws, yet somehow making sense of absolutely nothing. And I just thought to myself, boy, is he good at his job. Just fucking good at his job, because I don't think anybody else in that position would have been able to figure that out. I really don't. I think people would have been like, you're making me fucking face Shinsuke Nakamura. Great. Nakasnora.
I will say, I do kind of enjoy the fucking music he gets during his promos. Like the dramatic, like, ah. But yeah, I mean, look, like, it's just, you like, give me shit for this or whatever. People always do. But it's just like, I always say this about Cody. The dude is just good, and no matter what he's doing, he makes it interesting. Even in AEW, when he was doing the dumbest fucking shit and some of it seemed unwatchable, I still wanted to watch him because he would make something out of it. It's just like, some guys are just good. It's a gift that like all the greats have had, and Cody's certainly on that trajectory if he keeps going the way he's going. So it's one of those things. Like, the creative filled in the holes, and then Cody just brought it home. And that's what they needed to do this week, and they accomplished it. So it gets put in the shine, even though it's a side quest.
I can't believe we're actually almost excited for a Shinsuke Nakamura match, but it is, there we are. We're here, folks. We're here. Anything else? Or would you like to get heaty?
I'll just mention this. We can probably transition to heat because this is just such garbage, but I'm never going to be upset when Kairi Sane and Bianca Belair wrestle. So that was cool, but we can hit the heat now.
Get him off my TV. Get him off my TV. Get him off my TV. First off, can we just talk
everything
about
surrounding this sucks.
Yeah. Anything that's it's like damage control couldn't be more allergic to a good idea. It is unreal. When I watched the Bianca promo, I'm like, okay, parading her out. She's a fucking star. Let's do this. Does her fucking thing. Then they're like, okay, without Bailey, very intriguing. Damage control without Bailey. That's an intriguing element. But then fucking Charlotte and Shotzi come out and there's a brawl. And I'm just like,
We already did
War Games. Like, why? Like, and I don't know if it was you or maybe Bianca said it, or I phrase somebody we know said it. It was like, literally, Bianca has been feuding with Damage Control since the inception of Damage Control. Like, my face hurts watching this. And all I kept thinking was, give me something else, anything else, for the love of God. I don't know how it's continuing, but it's just not going away. It's like that turd that you flush and it keeps coming back up and you're just looking at it and you're like, God damn it, what did I eat? That's what it is. Damage control is a dookie. That's what it is. Dookie control. There we go.
I don't disagree. And what I've said all along is like, until we get Bayley versus Io, I don't give a shit. I love Kairi Sane. I'm excited that Asuka's a heel again. But it's just like, it's just, you can't have the same. We just had a match that had these three women versus these like women. And it's just like, until we can move it forward, it's like, yes, you can perk me up for any time Bianca and Kairi wrestle, or pretty much when Kairi wrestles anyone, because she's fucking amazing and she has chemistry with all those women. But it's just like, it's brutal. This is such an opportunity to make this division red hot. When you have two male singles champions who aren't there a lot, you have an opportunity to feature these women and make these women, give them all the time they need, make it feel special. And it's just like the lazy faction damage control bullshit that we've been doing since the inception that hasn't been good.
It's tough to watch. It really is tough to watch. Like I, and then they go to the, you know, the semi-main event, right, where they have their great match or whatever, but Bailey comes out at the end and doesn't get the job done. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, are we Bailey centric? Are we damage control centric? Are we trying to get the belt off of Io? Because Io, here's the thing about the whole thing about damage control. Not one time have I felt that Io is the star.
100%.
And she is.
She's awesome, but it just the rain hasn't been good.
No. And no. The other part
and we're huge Io fans.
Right.
So it just, we're trying to give her credit, but it's just the rain hasn't been good. And it's the toughest thing you have with this faction now, especially with Bailey not being part of it. I mean, Dakota's cutting all the promos for a reason. Like right. The other three, it's just like not their strength, especially as heel promos. Like it's just, I don't know. They're in a tough spot.
All right. Moving on to something else that's absolutely garbage. Let's see here. Going over to Raw, I would say there was a random promo with Shayna back there talking about Nia, and Nikki's in the background is what it is. Then we get a tease that Becky and Nia are up next in terms of this fucking feud. And I just went, I get it. I mean, there's story there.
They've never really paid it off.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I am too.
But then when we get to the Shayna and Nia match, I was just like, woof. Like, this is bad. And before our boy Guthrie gives me all the fucking shit in the world saying like, you know, blah, 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 blah about Nia Jax hurting people. First off, Guthrie, this is directed directly at you. Because you were like making a joke about it. If you say something about the Shayna suplex, Shayna's fucking stupid for thinking she could suplex from that angle, let alone Nia Jax at all. And then it's not Nia Jax's fault that she fell backwards. It's Shayna's fault that she did the fucking suplex to begin with because she didn't think about it and where she was and the fucking face just got smushed. And she's probably got a fucking concussion now because she can't fucking figure it out. Did you just call me a Guthrie shamer?
Danny called you a Guthrie shamer.
So you know what, Danny? You were on my fish list. I'll explain what my fish list is later.
Oh, boy.
But you and Guthrie are in cahoots, which honestly says more about you than it does Guthrie. I expect Guthrie to be on an island in a fucking cuckoo's nest somewhere, painting a fucking weird picture. But you, Daniel, I don't know if the sun is different where you are from where we are, but God damn it, man. What are you doing? What are you on that you agree with Guthrie? All right.
Well, this is like a two part. I mean, obviously I'm not going to defend a Nia Shayna match. I was surprised they gave him that much time. They pretty much, once again, Shayna, they start to build their momentum and they just feed her to the top stars. It's just like, they just won't. And just her and Miss 360 there. That's a thing. They're a thing still. So that's a thing. But it's just like, it's, yeah, this is about Nia and Becky. Cause I mean, Rhea's Rhea. She wasn't there this week, but it's like the next up, the B section is Nia, Becky. It's going to probably gonna be feuding to and through the Rumble. Makes sense. It's two of their bigger stars. It keeps Becky busy for a while to keep her away from Rhea. And it, Nia, just like, she's like one of those end bosses, but yeah, I mean, yeah, this was something, but yeah, it was something.
You check your text message.
I saw a message come in, but I'm trying to be a professional, Adam.
Oh, please. You were doing bets and buying merch.
I have not. Look, you just reminded me, though, to check my bets.
So there you go. We should get sponsored by DraftKings and fucking Encore. All of them. It'd be fucking great. Yeah, distraction incoming. For those that don't know, he put us together as – let me see if I can do this. You probably can't see it. Hair and meat. It's us as a – yeah, you can't see that, but you're Otis. And I'm Tucky, or maybe something else. I don't know. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so yeah, I'm not really excited about anything that it comes to with the women's division in terms of Raw, because it just seems like it's in shambles. I'm not excited about the women's division across the board. Tag, SmackDown, Raw. I feel like at this point, I feel like we're in this weird fucking vortex where it doesn't matter till after Royal Rumble anyway. So I'm watching shit across the board. Not just the women. It's like there's some other stuff that's fantastic, but some of the storytelling, I'm just like, is there storytelling here, folks? Is there storytelling? I don't know.
Well, you know what, Nestlemania? How about this? I have a hope about the Women's Royal Rumble for my hope. So how about that? We'll tease that for a little bit.
You little soon. Tease. You
coming
little
up tease. Next after we finish the heat. JC's Women's Royal Rumble hope.
Coming up next.
That's a mid-block tease, as we say.
Speaking of things that are not, I'm just going to be funny. Seth Rollins doing that backstage promo with Pierce about how, oh, I don't care about CM Punk getting signed. When I thought about it, I'm like, do you really think that Seth Rollins is going to be a heel? Like, do you think it's time?
I've always found him more interesting as a heel, but it's so contradictory because his moveset is so babyface. That's why it's always been a disconnect with me and Seth a lot of the times, because I think his best character work is as a heel, but his best wrestling as a babyface. So it's tough. I don't know. It's one of those things. If he feuds with CM Punk, it's like when you feud with Cena, it's like, there's going to be people on your side, there's people that's not. It's like a true like split. I think it's just, and that's not a bad thing in wrestling nowadays. There's a lot more gray than just like babyface, heel, black, white, like whatever you want to call it. It's just, there is a lot more gray and it can work. And I think for that type of feud, it would, but I think it's good to continue to have Seth kind of like be bitter and upset as you kind of like, you know, sprinkle a little trail, a little CM Punk trail, as we might say.
So there's two things I want to ask. First off, do you think there's an opportunity here? Probably not in reality, but I think this is an interesting concept. What if they have Royal Rumble, CM Punk and Rollins, CM Punk wins, Rollins gets upset, gives him like a low blow, then there's a cash in right there. CM Punk loses that night. Then there's a whole reason to have a rematch. Thoughts?
I don't like it personally. Okay. I feel like I really want this at WrestleMania just because I think it gaps us between to CM Punk's like first like big thing. I feel like the Rumble, it kind of shoots it in, and him winning the title right away, it's just kind of like, eh, I don't know. It doesn't work for me. And it's one of those things, like, I don't know if once we see it once, if it kind of ruins it, if then you do it, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm still at the point where I want that not to be done. I want them to continue ask Seth about it and him to continue to blow it off until they finally cross paths, like late a little bit into 2024, because I think just in the short term, I think you find something else for Punk and Seth keeps going on doing what he's doing. It feels like, again, I said this last week or whenever, it feels like he's actually going to hold that till WrestleMania at this point, because like they're really, unless they're really doing the thing where they like We don't even see Priest with the briefcase half the time anymore. He's doing more shit. We see him with R-Truth more than him with his briefcase at this point. We see him with R-Truth more than with his fucking tag team partner. So I don't know. It feels like they're doing so much other stuff with Priest right now that unless if they're really trying to pull the wool over their eyes, which they can do a lot of times for cash-ins, it feels like it just isn't close. And this might truly be a post-WrestleMania thing.
Another question I wanted to say to anybody in the chat. I'm just curious people's thoughts about this. What would you rather see? CM Punk versus Seth Rollins at Mania, title, doesn't matter, just that match. Or would you rather see CM Punk versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at Mania?
I mean, that's his dream match, but I don't know.
I mean, it's the straight edge kid versus the drunk, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the everyman.
I just kind of don't want, if the Stone Cold thing's going to be happening every WrestleMania now, it's just going to feel not as special. I mean, the guy is old. I love Stone Cold, but good God, the guy like has like fucking no knees. Like,
I'm just asking. I'm putting the question out there, folks.
It's definitely a positive. If Stone Cold says he wants to wrestle CM Punk at WrestleMania, they will do it. They will change whatever they have to because that is a money match.
But Bursky's saying Punk Rollins, LOL. So look, I would have not thought that Bursky seems like a Stone Cold guy to me. I don't even really know Bursky that well, but it
wasn't even like alive when Stone Cold was.
That's
doing
not
his thing.
True.
Bert's like 26.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Really?
He's a baby. Oh, okay. He's a little Bursky.
He's a pretty big boy.
He is a big boy. It doesn't mean he's not young.
26.
You're like double his age in WrestleMania because you're like 58.
Oof. Ugh. I think the oldest person in this chat is the Joe Stopper, but that's beside the point. Jesus. I don't know. I think on a billboard, you see Punk and Austin, you're like, that's a night one thing. Rollins and Punk is good too.
What do you do with Rollins at Mania then?
I don't care. I'm sorry.
Well, it's one of those things, like he's one of their top guys. He's a Triple H guy. He always gets a big match. It feels like that Punk spot makes a lot of sense for him. And like with the, you know, it just, especially if he's going to be taking a break at some point to actually handle his like issues with his back and stuff, you kind of got to give him a big one here at WrestleMania. So I don't know. It feels like I said, Stone Cold wants to do it. They'll do it. But
What about Gunther?
Gunther what?
Gunther versus Rollins. That's a big match.
They could do it. Again, Gunther's kind of been my pick to win the Royal Rumble, so it just kind of contradicts my title thing. But
I don't think he's going to now that CM Punk is here. There's something about the
Who
Royal Rumble.
Who wins it again, Cody?
No. If they do that again, that's suicide. That would be terrible, in my opinion.
LA Knight?
LA Knight. Maybe it is.
Wins the Rumble and goes for the U.S. title?
Oh, yeah. Imagine if it's Drew McIntyre and they rewrite this entire thing on the other end of being a heel. Yeah. Like, that would be interesting.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't know. I'm just saying it's something. Anything else you want to say that's heady before we get to the hope?
Nope.
Rhymes with nope. It's the hope. You're our only hope. Joshua, would you like to start?
I'm waiting for you to like say my name.
JC, you have a hope?
I do have a hope. Thank you, WrestleMania. Okay. You know, I have to make sure that acknowledge me correctly. Thank you. My hope is about the Women's Royal Rumble, as I teased earlier. And WrestleMania, I'm going to keep it simple because this thing's a fucking mess. And I was thinking, I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's finally time for our girl, one of our favorite baby faces of all time, to do the damn thing. And since they clearly want to fucking drag this shit out forever, why not have one of the horsewomen who hasn't won the Royal Rumble win the Royal Rumble? And that's Bayley. Because Bayley, if you want Io to hold this thing through WrestleMania, Bayley Io makes sense to me as a WrestleMania match. And look it, if we think it's really Becky Rhea at Mania, sure, they could have Becky win the Rumble again. But here's the thing. Becky don't need no Royal Rumble to feel like a legit competitor at WrestleMania. She can easily earn that another way against Rhea. So it's like the Rumble, it's an opportunity kind of like, you know, a lot of the times they give it to a lot of established people. But I mean, look at Bayley's established. She's had a career. She's won it all. She's done it all except for like this. So I feel like this finally could be the time because clearly she's starting to be felt out by Damage Control. We're starting to see little pieces here of babyface Bayley again. It's been a long time between her injury and her heel turn that we haven't seen our beloved Bayley in a long time. So I've been thinking, I was like, you know, there's obviously the rumors about like other Raw superstars who could win it. You could obviously do Becky again, blah, blah. But I was like, why not Bayley? This feels like the time for her. The storyline makes sense. Her and Io, it just makes sense. So that's my hope, pretty simple, WrestleMania, is that I want Bayley to win the 2024 Women's Royal Rumble and right the ship in this SmackDown Women's Division. Hashtag JC knows. Hashtag JC's hopes come true. Hashtag JC's a hugger. Hashtag.
Are there any more hashtags on X, Twitter? I don't know. Maybe there is. Maybe there isn't. Great.
Still hashtags, buddy.
Okay. By the way, Huge Wang in the house, which means Stinkface Kurt is here. So here we go. Sorry. I just want to make sure Huge Wang got his props because we love Huge Wang. Everybody loves a Huge Wang. He's sniffing it.
It's true. You love hard chests, hairy people, and Huge Wangs.
Everybody.
That's what we've learned today. That's Nestle's triangle of love.
It sounds more like a pyramid, but I'll go with triangle. Anyway, moving on. My hope, sponsored by Rogaine. See what I did there? Mine is very interesting here because I was thinking about this for the men's Royal Rumble and the men's World Heavyweight Championship. I think here's what we do, right? We go off the basis that Rollins loses to CM Punk. Punk has the championship for like a second. And of course, Damian Priest has it to Mania. That's right, folks. I'm going to let him ride the wave to Mania. But who do you get to win the men's Royal Rumble and get everybody excited? There was nobody, in my opinion, more cookie cutter, ready to go, winning a Royal Rumble and looking impressive than what I saw on Friday night, folks. And that is one, Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley winning the Royal Rumble would be fucking incredible. And just seeing all the crowd go like, boom, 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 and him celebrating with pyrotechnics, the whole deal, you could do it. I think Bobby Lashley is a very impressive human being, a specimen. And then having Damian Priest be a heel, and then you have that faction on faction bullshit. You could have, you know, the Street Profits come over for WrestleMania season or something like that. Maybe they're the ones that overthrow the tag team. You could do so many things with that. I'm so into this. I love the idea of Bobby Lashley winning the Royal Rumble. I think if you put Bobby against Roman, that's great, but that's not going to happen. But Bobby against the World Heavyweight Champion, that guy's a fucking stud. So give me Bobby Lashley winning the Royal Rumble. That's what I want, because even if it was Gunther versus Bobby Lashley, sign me the fuck up.
I mean, Gunther versus Bobby Lashley, yes, sign me
the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, sign me the fuck up. You put McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley, we know that thing fucking bangs. You could do that again. Like, Priest is really good with a lot of people. All of this makes sense, but Bobby Lashley as a babyface champion, fuck yeah, let's do it. Let's fucking go. That guy, you could tell the crowd wanted to just cheer him so much. Nobody's going to boo him. Then you can't. Look at the guy. He's like if Brock Lesnar liked people. You know what I mean? That's it. If Brock Lesnar liked people, it's Bobby Lashley. He's a stud. He's a fucking stud. What?
The Brock Lesnar parallels. Always good.
He's the Bobby incarnate. What do you want from me, man? Like, he is. He's fucking great.
Yeah.
I know. Anything
you're
else?
You're thinking about Twix bars again. You want that chocolate. But yeah, that's the hopes in WrestleMania. We go on to the comeback and, you know, I would flicker my lights and shoot some smoke guns, but I don't know if that's up to code here in my apartment. But I'm giving it to the party girls, my girls, Katana Chance and Kaden Carter, back on Monday Night Raw, a true tag team matching gear. As Wade Barrett said, the best women's tag team maneuvers in the biz. They're creative. They try all sorts of crazy shit. And they got the big win over Tegan and Natty. It appears that they are next up for Chelsea and Piper. You know, I'd obviously love to see them win too, because they are a true tag team. But yeah, I enjoy watching them, because a lot of the times in these women's tag divisions, you get these hodgepodge tag teams. These two women came up together. They're really good friends in real life. Their styles make sense. They're similar size. They're similar build. They do similar things. And they have some of the most unique type of tag team moves you see in the entire division. It's just because of the athleticism is off the charts. So I was pumped to see them back on TV. I was pumped to see them pick up the big dub. And you know what? Maybe WrestleMania, maybe 2024 is the year of the women's tag team championships in WWE.
Every time they come out dancing, I'm just like, let's go.
They're so much fun. It's just like, I love them so much in NXT, because they bring energy. And it's when sometimes when you watch it, you just need people to bring energy. And you can tell they look like they're having a blast. So I feel like I'm having a blast.
I can't believe I danced my entire way through your comeback. That was fun.
I know, we went full Tozawa there.
I know, right? I was sitting there wondering if you were going to break a little bit, but you just...
Oh, no, I wanted to just keep talking to see if you could keep it up.
I think I pulled my shoulder out of the socket. If only I knew a back cracker who was going to be able to help me, but I guess not. My insurance doesn't cover him. Anyway, moving on to my comeback, I'm going to give it to guess who? I just love watching Vinci. When I was watching that 2 out of 3 falls match, all I kept thinking to myself was, man, this match is designed to show how great he is. And then when he did that jump springboard moonsault, I just went, wow, I forgot how pretty that was. Wow, I forgot how good he was. Because when you see it, you're like, okay, Ludwig is a star. You can't take your eyes off the guy, right? Like, just chiseled like a hunky Adonis. And then across, you know, you have the fucking meat potatoes of DIY doing all their fucking yeah. But like, those three men, they're in there and you're like, okay, clearly they're chewing up scenery and shit. And Vinci's just kind of the guy. But man, on Monday night, when he did all those moves and he was in it to win it, I was just thinking to myself, like, wow, is he good? Like, he's like, and even Barrett put him over on commentary saying things like, man, this guy is like really, really, really just talented. And I know that's their job to put people over, but you forget how good Vinci is. So that's my comeback. I am so excited to see Vinci do something. I think he's kind of limited where he is right now, of course, but being an underling. But man, he could do something really cool. Maybe just even a one-time like mid-card champion, I think he'd be okay.
Yeah, it's tough. I think maybe with that NXT gimmick, he had a chance, but obviously they stuck him back in Imperium. But look, Vinci's been around for as long as he has because he's so fucking good in the ring. He just like he shined in that Cruiserweight Classic as one of the bigger guys. He's continued to stick around. He's found his foot in the tag team division. But yeah, just like Imperium and DIY, it's one of those things you can plug and play. Played every week. The chemistry's off the charts. Has been since NXT and will continue to be. And yes, Bertsky, I also did notice the DIY stray from WrestleMania. He just can't help himself. He's always fucking cocked and ready to shoot a fucking bullet at Johnny fucking Gargano, no matter what happens.
Oh, don't! I did not forget about Tommaso Ciampa. Oh yeah.
So
both of those men can get lost. There you go. All right.
This is the true Nestle colors coming out. The true Nestle colors.
Do it yourself. Do it yourself. You know what they're gonna do? Nothing. They're gonna win fucking tag titles. Ooh. Then TJ's gonna be sitting there going, yeah, I love Johnny Gargano. He's so good.
Now you're shooting strays at TJ.
TJ's the perennial jobber knocker Gargano fan. That's what it is. He is.
Yeah, he likes wrestling.
He likes wrestling. He does. That's all. He's
Mr. NXT, just like Johnny Gargano.
Vinci is Claudio Light, is what Joe Pollock says. I don't know about that because honestly, Claudio Light.
They do have similar type of like strength things. Vinci's obviously more, I think, like springy. Than Claudio, whereas Claudio is a lot more power based, but yeah, they do, and I think some of their stuff definitely does overlap. But WrestleMania, we got to finish, and we are on a deadline, but not yet. We're gonna get to that deadline, and I just checked. It appears that we do have 5 matches now, and one of the match Iron Survivors is filled up. So we predict that we almost have the full card. Probably not gonna get the men's. We don't have to wait another hour, but it's coming into place. We're gonna get there in a minute, but we're gonna start on SmackDown. We have 4 things booked for SmackDown this week. As we mentioned earlier, CM Punk will make his return to SmackDown, probably to be courted by Nick Aldis, and probably to tell Paul Heyman to go fuck himself. Oh wait, that's another show. But yeah, also we have Charlotte versus Asuka. That's a plug and play. We have the return of Karrion Kross, who is in this tournament, but he is being fed to Bobby Lashley. And then we have the rematch of Santos Escobar and Dragon Lee.
Well, we know that Santos is winning. We know that Bobby's winning. So there's half the bracket. I don't think CM Punk's going to have any type of substance to what he's saying. That's going to be a fucking parade him out. It's supposedly support the troops one, right? Tribute to the troops.
It is. Yeah. He'll probably just have a promo. He'll probably like walk by Paul Heyman. That'll probably be it.
They'll say America. Woohoo. I don't know.
When I think America, I think CM Punk.
Well, definitely you're right to speak your mind for sure. That's for sure. But I don't care about Charlotte's match. I think it is what it is, but it's a pedestrian match. CM Punk will be the main event promo. And then before it'll be Charlotte's match. That's exactly what's going to happen. I would bet my life on it. All right.
I could see it, but since you said it, it's probably cursed. We head to Raw WrestleMania, where, guess what? The other headline, CM Punk returns to Raw on Monday. And as Adam Pearce told Sethy Seth backstage, my intent is to sign him to an exclusive Raw contract. So that's a thing. But also we have Cody Rhodes versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I think we both think there's going to be a little gaga in this one.
Shinsuke Nakagaga. There you go. Now that I could get into. Nakagaga. But the other thing that I could think about was, so if CM Punk's on Friday night and CM Punk's on Monday night, and one train is leaving the station at 12:45. No, I'm thinking to myself, they're already setting up what Monday's supposed to be. So what could they possibly do on Friday that would have any type of substance?
Play his music, cut a promo, says he's back on SmackDown, and then he signs to Raw and has no reason to ever go to SmackDown again. It's pretty simple.
I just think it's a waste of fucking time to parade
his fucking It's not ass. A waste for those people who are paying their tickets to see CM Punk, I can tell you that. And that's why they're doing it. It's just
Albany didn't get him on Monday.
Yeah, because he wanted the fight. He probably wanted the time off. This is the difference. I think I was reading an interview with somebody, and it says, like, the biggest difference you see in this Triple H era is he's willing, like, if people want family time, they get it. Like, it's not uncommon that, oh, Finn Balor isn't on Raw this week. Oh, Rhea Ripley even isn't even on Raw. It's just, like, one of those things. It's like, if you want a week off, you actually get it, which I think is cool because these are human beings. So I like when human beings get treated like human beings.
Your boy Birdsky says, I have a take. Shinsuke Nakamura is great, but kind of bored of him. That's not really a take. I think that's what everybody thinks.
Yeah, that's a take. I mean, some people were excited about the character change. Like we said earlier, it's like, at least they explained it with Cody. So it made this that I'm willing to watch it. But once he's done with Cody, am I going to fucking care about him? Absolutely not.
I don't think so, folks. Here's the thing. I think he is where he is, and that's it. It's just...
he's a good mid-carder.
He is just not going to be able to get to the point where there's Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. I'd even go as far as Jey Uso and fucking Sami Zayn. The list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, he's a mid-carder. There's nothing wrong with being a mid-carder because you know what? The mid-carder in WrestleMania is the meat. And what do we love in this program? Meat. Hair. I didn't have a meat match of the week this week. Meat, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't have a meat match of the week this week, unfortunately. There weren't that many good meaty selections this week for me to choose from. But I will say, WrestleMania, because we're going to switch over to AEW now quickly before. Normally we start with Dynamite on Wednesday, but I can spoiler alert, because on Collision, there's some meat colliding on Collision. It is Wardlow versus Willie Mack. Lock it in. JC's meat match of the week right now. I love me some Willie Mack. This guy's a stud. I'm glad that he's going to be on a little AEW and not just the reign of trash bullshit they have, but I'm always there for Wardlow. It's going to be a Wardlow match where he might actually have to wrestle more than 30 seconds. So I'm excited for this meat flying around the ring colliding on Saturday.
You know what was interesting we didn't get to talk about was on AEW, they had the whole fucking Devil's team come out and hold MJF
up. It looked like Wardlow.
It was the Wardlow.
Devil looked like Wardlow. It was his big fucking ass.
He pulled this fucking mask off, and then like he came out with his fucking disheveled hair, and all I kept thinking was, nobody stopped him. Not one person fucking stopped him and said, hey, when you take that mask off, like put some water on your hair, put some gel in it. I don't know, comb it, do something. Instead, it looked like he went through a goddamn wind tunnel, and all I could think about was, what? Like, it was back to back, too, and I was just thinking to myself, why? Why would you waste that? And like, you can kind of tell by the facial structure, it's definitely the Kingdom and whatever. But the other thing that I did think in my mind, which would be even better, it won't happen, but boy, would that be a fucking turn that I would laugh at. What if it's the entire Pinnacle minus Max?
I saw some people say that, but it just like, I'm pretty sure that's not FTR and Sean Spears under those masks. I mean, obviously Wednesday, that leads us into Wednesday where we're going next. I just skipped ahead for the meet. The Goons are taking on MJF, Samoa Joe in a tag team match. I don't know. It's because I've seen a lot of people say they think it's the Kingdom, and you just said that too. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it is. I don't know. I just do. Is Wardlow really going to be in charge of fucking Yelly McFuckface? By the way, Strawn's gimmick went from fucking great to fucking the most annoying thing ever now, and I change the channel whenever he's on.
So
let the dolphin for me. See ya, Roddy.
You want to put that in the fucking
Adam? Imagine if I did that the whole show. Everyone would turn us off.
So to tell you something, so there's a AEW this week with RJ City and Roddy Strong. It was painful. Absolutely. Like, he paraded out his wife and his kid, and it was super painful. They made the Adam jokes. It was 15 minutes long, and I was looking at it 2 minutes in going, oh my God, this exploits everything about him that I was fearing. This was like, if you ever want to point in a direction on why Roddy Strong is where he is in life, go watch this YouTube clip. I was sitting there going, this in a nutshell, in cases why this man is who he is. It's unreal how uncomfortable this entire interview is of just nothing. Like, just, you say I have no riz and no charisma. Man.
Every time you say riz, the way you say riz explains to all of us that you have no riz.
I got riz. I got plenty of riz. What are you laughing at?
You.
Well, how would you say riz? Got zero riz. That's what I was told. I have zero riz. Why are you laughing at me? I said it right. Anyway, what was my other point? Now I lost track.
I don't even know. You and Roddy, no riz.
No riz, Roddy. No riz, Roddy. No riz, Nestle. That'll probably go better. That goes right out the tongue. Anything else we want to talk about on that?
We also have the big match is the TNT title match between Christian Cage and Adam Copeland. They're doing it on Wednesday. This kind of screams some gaga. We normally don't get a lot of gaga in AEW matches, but with Christian Cage, you kind of do.
So it's funny that it's in Montreal, but it's funny to me in different ways because it's just like people were complaining like, oh, hey, by the way, it should be on a pay-per-view, which I can see that. But if you listen to what Edge said, it was, oh, if you listen to what I've been talking about and I'm bringing it in my entire family, it's more important to where it is, not, you know, what pay-per-view or what event it's at. So I get that. But when he wins with the fucking giant confetti bomb and all that shit and he fucking celebrates with his family, I'm going to go, well, this is just underwhelming. Now, if there's if they change it where Christian Cage somehow squeaks by a victory, I'll be fucking ecstatic if he wins. However, it's not going to fucking happen. I would definitely put the Nestle curse on Christian Cage right now and say he is not winning this matchup. All right. That's how sure I am about that. Let me tell you right now what to do. I'm telling you right now, I think AEW is allergic to the Nestle curse. I think it's only exclusive to WWE properties.
Interesting. Well, I do want to try something WrestleMania, so I'm just going to throw a couple things at you right now that, you know, may or may not affect my financial...
Word association, maybe. Let's do it.
Yeah, you know, what do you like better?
Okay.
Things from Michigan or things from Alabama?
Alabama.
Okay, what do you like better? Things from Washington or things from Texas?
Texas.
Oh, man, I love this. I love this. What do you like better, things from Washington or things from Michigan?
I'm going to go with Michigan.
Yes! My Huskies are winning the championship. Book it. I already bet them 8-1. Lock it up. Penix to the title. Yeah, you know, that was just a little creative.
We should
worked out perfectly.
We should do a gambling show just to see how bad I am at calling gambling. That would be unreal.
I just need to start texting you and asking, be like, hey, how do you feel about this game? I just like ask you a generic thing where you don't know it's about a game, and then just bet the opposite of what you say and see how rich I get.
I could probably
retire and just do this show full time.
May I make a caveat though? If you do indeed get rich off of my bad twist of fate, can I at least get a portion of the proceeds? Anything? Maybe even I have children in the other room.
You know what I can buy you, WrestleMania? A lifetime supply of Twix.
Oh, so you missed out on there. You should have said a lifetime supply of Riz. That's what you should have
said. You can't buy that. Oh my
sure.
God.
Yeah, you can buy Riz. You absolutely. It's like an upgrade in the DLC. It's fine.
Oh my God.
Need Nestle
to fucking living out the Sims right now.
Nestle needs to become a Bama man to make you and Doc even more mad with me. All right.
What's a fucking Alabama fan? Fucking Saban loving motherfucker.
Listen, I know is that people were upset about Florida State. That's all was blown up my timeline.
Yeah,
so.
They went undefeated and kind of got screwed just because their quarterback got injured. They kept them out of the playoffs because they decided that, oh, their quarterback's injured. We don't care if they still win all their games. They don't deserve to make the playoffs. Could you imagine an NFL team makes the playoffs and like, oh, your quarterback got hurt? Well, we're going to call them the backup team. It's unbelievable. But they're going to 12 next year, so it's the last year of this bullshit. NCAA is the most corrupt organization in the world, but this is a fucking wrestling podcast. So we'll get back on track, WrestleMania, because we had a deadline. We're clearly well past it, but I think it's time to get to it. Oh, by the way, there's Continental Classics this week on AEW.
Oh, can I?
But you know what? Fuck that shit. We're not previewing it. We're not talking about it because it's the dumbest fucking thing in the world. It sucks. It's a waste of my television. I fucking turn on AEW. It's like, oh, let's have a 20-minute Briscoe match. Fast forward. Let's have a 20-minute Jay Lethal match. Fast forward. I don't give a fuck.
There's like three people in this tournament that I want to watch. The other 12, I don't give a shit about. And all kept thinking was, Tony Khan wants to fucking be New Japan in the worst way possible. And you know what? I'm sorry, Conway, earmuffs. You know what doesn't fucking sell in the United States? Japanese wrestling on a fucking large scale. You want to make a G1 classic light? This shit ain't fucking working. And you're going to make it fucking convoluted with the NJP whatever strong title, the fucking ridiculous Ring of Honor championship with this Continental Classic. It's a fucking Buick championship, whatever. I am looking at this going, nobody fucking wants to watch AEW anymore. So let's put on a fucking snooze fest. Let's put on a fucking random jerk off fest about wrestling. When if Mark Briscoe, I'm sorry, if he's in a match, in a promo, I'll watch him. In a match, I don't fucking give a shit. You give me Swerve, I'll watch it. You give me D-Bry, I'll watch it. Maybe some others in there. Daniel Garcia, just to see if he does something great. But I don't want to see fucking Eddie Kingston putting out his beer gut, fucking losing three times in a goddamn row.
I love Eddie. Leave Eddie alone.
You can promo all you
want.
Pick
on Jay Lethal. Pick on someone else. Leave Eddie
Jay
alone.
Jay Lethal, for crying out loud, that guy is generic as it can be. And then I don't even know everybody else is in the goddamn tournament. It's just
when Roosh, Jay White, who's done nothing but lose in the tournament.
Oh my God. It's
a fucking pile of I almost said pile of steaming steam. Shit. Yeah, that's what I should have said. It's a pile of steaming shit. And you know what's funny? I just realized that as we were talking, they made this Continental Classic and they made like they're combining titles for it, but they literally made a title called the All Atlantic Championship. They changed to the International Championship that is separate from the Continental Classic. What the fuck, geography? What are we doing, Tony? Fucking eat some more snow, you dumbass. Get out of my face.
Oh, our boy Dommy's in the here. I love Dom. Japanese style has never translated to the States. You want to know why? Because people who like fucking hard-hitting Smash Mouth wrestling are just people who want to watch fucking UFC. That's it. You go watch UFC, you'll see real fucking fighting. You'll see real guys and girls beating the fuck out of each other. When you go over to wrestling, wrestling is a fucking gymnastical
spectacle.
Yeah,
it's an art form. It's theater. It's violent
theater. It is. But you can't fucking tell me. I'm sorry. But when I see fucking beer gut Eddie Kingston coming out of fucking
nowhere. Stop picking on Eddie.
With his fucking beer gut doing this. Ha, 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 ha. Fucking wicked, he had a fucking hoagie in his fucking mouth. I can't do it. I just can't do it. And this is taking up AEW Rampage, AEW Collision, AEW fucking Dark. I don't know any Dynamite, all of it. I don't even know anymore. Every time I see Continental Classic, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to remember any of these fucking matches. I'm sure they're all good, but I'm not going to fucking remember them. Stop giving me fucking shit for free and fucking tell a story. God. Sorry.
I mean, I think we both our favorite tweet of the week was the person that tweeted out the Continental Classic is just an excuse for AEW to have less storytelling.
Oh my God.
But you know what? We've shown AEW enough. They deserve it because it's fucking a shit sandwich over there. I'll be watching Collision for fucking Willie Mack and Wardlow. Meet match of the week coming up there on Saturday. Wednesday, I mean, I'll watch my boy Christian. That it's just like, ugh. But at WrestleMania, we finally are going to get to deadline, and I keep refreshing.
Did we even
it.
Go over AEW? I don't even know.
Fuck did AEW. We did. We talked about it, and we're not talking about the content of the classic. Right, done. Right, we're not previewing that ever. That can go fuck itself. Which again, AEW overuses that now too, because you had one good moment that Christian had, and then fucking Edge has to be cool and do it. I'm just deadline. We have five matches now. There's been updates to some of these matches as we've been recording. We will start with the newest match. So it's probably not on the sheet. So you'll have to add
your
it.
Boy TJ.
Singles match.
In it right
literally
now.
Just got added in WrestleMania. The poor guy's reviewing the show. You expect him to do two things at once. He do leave TJ alone.
He just did it.
What a stud. See?
I'm not giving him shit. I'm
go
giving
fuck
him props.
Yourself.
I was giving him props.
It sounded Jesus like you Christ. Weren't.
Well, you don't listen to me. Much like my children.
There's a reason for that.
Nobody listens to me. Not one fucking person. My poor wife, it might be the only person, God bless her, listens to my bullshit all day. You, my children, nobody. Nobody listens to me. Moving on. Let's talk about it.
Deadline. Roxanne Perez versus Kiana James. They have not liked each other for a while. They will be having a singles match. I'm going to pick Roxanne.
There's no way she's not winning. By the way, the police should play her out at WrestleMania. That'd be fucking awesome. Anyway, that's beside the
point. Next up, singles match for the NXT North American Championship. We have a slight alteration to this match, WrestleMania. Dirty Dominic Mysterio, the champion, alongside Mommy, will defend against Dragon Lee, who will be with Rey Mysterio. So I don't know what happened to Wes Lee, but yeah.
Why is Dragon Lee? I don't know.
It was literally changed. It says Dom versus Dragon Lee with Rey Mysterio. So I don't know if what happened on the episode that's going we're going head to head with, but I don't know.
You're gonna have to go to jobberknocker.com to read TJ's article, yeah. I guess.
Unless the Wikipedia is wrong, but it got changed during the show. So.
Well, he changed it in here too. Well, as you said that's weird.
So something happened storyline wise. We're sorry we can't fill it in. We're predicting this show as NXT is currently live. So
I would say Dom wins because they would. I would assume they would have. I would think that Wesley's the guy to beat him.
But. Yeah, it felt like it might kind of been the moment for Wesley, but depending on whatever happened, it certainly feels like.
What are you trying to find out on Twitter?
Yeah.
Well, this is great.
Wesley came out with a cane, and yeah, he handpicked. He found out from Rey Mysterio that it will be Dragon Lee again, and Rey Mysterio will be in the corner of Dragon Lee, but I'm still picking Dom.
Okay,
this is a rematch. Too. We've seen this before.
Right.
Next up, we have a singles match for the NXT Championship. I'm excited for this one, WrestleMania. You like violence? This is WWE violence, which is better than what we were talking about before. Ilya Dragunov, the fighting champion, takes on my boy, Baron Corbin. Who you got?
I think it's very early in Dragunov's era, and I think that Corbin has gone on record as saying people have to lose. So I don't mind losing. So I think this guy is just there to take a fucking giant jumping forearm to the goddamn mush.
And I think he's also here to fucking have a late addition to fucking match of the year. Because I think this match is going to bane. Corbin's been doing great work in NXT. Him and Dragunov styles kind of fucking line up perfectly. And Corbin loves taking punches and giving punches. So this could be an absolute banner. I'm looking forward to it. I will take Dragunov as well, though. Next up, this match has been filled in. And you will be pleased by the fifth edition of this match. Women's Iron Survivor match to determine the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. You want to know the rules of this match? Go fucking Google it. I ain't fucking telling you. But we have Tiffany Stratton, Lash Legend, Blair Davenport, Kalani Jordan, and the winner of tonight's Last Chance thing, Fallon Henley. So, WrestleMania, who will be the Women's Iron Survivor and who will become the number one contender for Lyra's NXT Women's Championship?
Well, if I'm being honest here, I'm looking at all five of these ladies and I'm thinking Fallon Henley, not winning. Kalani Jordan, thanks for coming. Not happening. Lash Legend, if she does,
winner.
I will lose it. I might break my keyboard. That woman has no wrestling background whatsoever. I don't care if you're in the
WWE. A lot of people don't, but that's why you learn it.
She's terrible. She's atrocious. Anyway,
she's gotten a lot better.
It's either Tiffy Time or it's Blair Davenport. That's it. Those are the two that make sense to me. But I'm trying to figure.
You want to talk about someone who's not great, but.
She has bangs. Any person who any woman
we're back to hair.
Any woman that wrestles in bangs, not for me. Not for me. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I will say this. I think it's a two horse race. I think it's Tiffy time, or I think it's Kalani Jordan time, because I think she's one of the upcoming stars. We look at last year's results of this. It was Roxanne Perez and it was Grayson Waller, two workhorses / people that are big into the future. that they have big plans for. So I think Stratton makes a lot of sense. But WrestleMania, I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to pick Kalani Jordan here. She didn't get it done in the breakout tournament. That went to Lola. But I think Kalani Jordan is the one that pulls the big upset here and gets her moment and is your woman's Iron Survivor.
That's fine, because I'm going to go with Tiffy Time, because I think they're going to have somebody be the Iron Survivor, somebody that does all the work. So I'm going to do that.
All right. And then we have the Men's Iron Survivor Challenge to determine the number one contender for the NXT Championship. The fifth person we do not know yet, so hopefully it's not someone who might win. But we have Dijak. We have Trick Williams. We have Josh Briggs. We have Bron Breakker. And we have TBD. WrestleMania, who you got?
Who's the last of the TBD?
We don't know yet. That match hasn't happened yet.
I know, but they don't have any matchup. They don't tell you who's
in the
match.
It's whoever lost in the other matches gets a last chance, same as the other one.
So Melo will probably be in it.
Melo is one of the people in it. Unless if he's going to SmackDown, then he wouldn't be in it. I guess he still could.
From the four that I see, it seems like it's either Trick Williams or Bron Breakker. That would be my thought. Have we had Ilya versus Bron Breakker? Not since he's been champion.
He did it before the championship, but yeah, this feels like the swan song for Bron, if I'm being honest. I feel like he's in the Rumble and he's up. It feels like it's time, because I don't know what much more he can do there. I am curious who makes it for the men's. I think Melo is definitely he's definitely the headline guy they could put in. He could have one last hurrah as well if he goes up as well. But maybe it is Melo, because I do think I want to pick Trick. I'm kind of picking with my heart here, because it's him and Ilya have that unfinished story. The crowd is so behind Trick. Whoop that Trick. He's fucking been so improved. He's definitely deserving, but I just, they could also storyline wise it and have Melo screw him and get it somehow. But I'm going to pick Trick. I'm going to pick with my heart on this one. Give me Trick Willie, because I want to whoop that Trick. Whoop that Trick.
You know what's funny to me? Like, Dijak's in this, and it didn't even occur to me that he was, you know what I mean? Like, Dijak versus Ilya is interesting to me, too.
They've done that.
But they've done it before.
I don't know. It's one of those things, like, I don't mind people being put down there, but it's like with Baron Corbin, I don't expect him to win. I don't know. Oh, Maxine had a match next season.
I'm going to pick. I don't really want to pick Trick, but I feel like you're making a good argument for him. I'm gonna pick Trick.
Pick with our hearts, baby, because we want to whoop that Trick. Here, I can tell you the match. It is Eddie Thorpe, Carmelo Hayes, Joe Coffey, and Tyler Bate.
Yeah, it's Melo. I don't get
it. It's probably Melo, but I could see them shoehorning fucking Eddie Thorpe in there because they love him. Well, it should be Tyler Bate. That guy doesn't get any fucking
features. Tyler Bate. I love Tyler Bate. You hear that, Danny? I love Tyler Bate. You all right?
I love Joe Coffey. Gallus boys on top.
Yeah. I can't wait for Gallus to join McIntyre after Mania. It's going to be great.
Dude, that actually, honestly, they look so good. They'd be huge. Massive faction.
And you make them, and then you fucking make them, you know, hang out with fucking Sheamus. It'd be done. Like, the fucking, literally the biggest people in the fucking
world. A lot of fucking meat from across the pond.
Oh, yeah. That's meat from a, that's, never mind. I'm not even going to get into it. It just sounds awful. Anyway, I was going to say something about imported meats. It's a whole thing. But that's beside the point. Anything else would you like to talk about, or were we all set?
Are we done?
I think we're good.
I think we hit all our deadlines.
We did. Well, I guess we're done then. On that note, thank you for listening to the Jobberknocker podcast. We'll be back next week with some more
Jobberknockery.
Whoop that Trick. Whoop that Trick.